Welcome to the second episode of The Fake Podcast.
Yay! Yes, we're really happy to bring you our second episode, just a week after the first one debuted.
It's been long in the making.
Yes, but I was in New York this weekend visiting Girl Rothko and, you know, company. So we were like, we're doing this in person. This is not over Zoom. And we were like, we have to do a podcast.
Yes, exactly. Hopefully one day we'll be brave enough to do an actual video podcast.
Today's not that day.
It is not.
No, she actually set up like a little camera so that we could see ourselves. And I immediately like shot it down. Was looking thick. Thicker than I'd like to be. Not in the empowering way.
Okay. Can we talk about what I really wanted to talk about, which is, and then we'll see where the conversation goes, the beauty standards for millennials and Gen Z, and maybe the, this artificial or not so artificial line that the media always tries to draw between the two generations, because I feel like lately there have been a lot of articles like, millennials are being accused of wearing the side, you know, the side part.
Yeah. I will say, I mean, first of all, the line is a little blurry. We both have little sisters. We do both have little sisters who are 10 years younger than us, and they're always teasing us about the, you know, Gen Z millennial divide. But it's like, we're siblings. We're only 10 years apart. Like, how big of a generation? You know what I mean?
Right.
A generation I thought was like, you know, like when kids grow up and, you know, and their babies are the next generation, you know? So it's like, how big can the divide be? And I also feel like a lot of the things
that... And it's huge. That's what she said.
Ew. But I feel like a lot of the things that people make fun of millennials for are just a very specific subset of incredibly annoying people. Like, we have always hated the, like, Harry Potter, like, you know, pizza, Netflix, sweatpants, wine kind of. Like,
yes, we're not those millennials.
No, we're not even millennials. Barely Gen Z. I'm really nervous for 8th grade. Like, do you think I'll make friends?
I have to say, I actually like Gen Z.
Yeah, I do too. Gen Z is hilarious.
They were, yeah, I felt apprehensive at first, and it feels like, you know, oh, all of a sudden you're not the cool kid anymore.
Yeah, it's a reminder. Like, I don't mind Gen Z. I mind the aging process and all that. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thankfully, it doesn't happen to us.
Even this itself is like a subset of wine mom humor. We're disgusting.
Jesus. Oh, God. Fuck it up. Okay, the thing that I like about Gen Z is how natural social media comes to them. For instance, a lot of the times I would see Gen Z girls on Instagram who are not even huge influencers, and they will make a post and then go to their story, post, you know, do the new post, you know, alert, put an emoji, and like, you know what I mean? Like, they act as if they're influencers, and there's nothing embarrassing about it. Whereas I feel like for a lot of millennials, you have to like get over yourself and start expressing yourself on the internet. And usually people in our age group tend to be completely different on social media versus what they are in real life. And I feel like for Gen Z, it's just much more natural.
Yeah.
They're just kind of like, this is, you know, this is a picture of me crying.
I also think TikTok itself is just a different platform. Like, the way the algorithm works kind of lets everybody be an influencer in a certain way.
You know? This.
Yeah. No, but like, it's very, you know, anyone on TikTok can share stuff and it'll get, you know, hundreds of comments and stuff, and anyone can randomly see it, you know? And you can have something go totally viral and, you know, everybody sees all this, the post and everything. And then like the next day, like, they go back to, you know, just being a regular account and stuff.
And in terms of beauty standards, I feel like very, you know, that super done look, the Kardashian look.
Is over.
Is very much our generation. Whereas Gen Z is very, you know, I embrace my blemishes. I look the way that I look, and everything is sexy, basically.
I don't think they embrace everything, blah, blah, blah. I think they're just moving back to like heroin chic.
I do agree that there has never been a period of history where just being your normal self was somehow the beauty standard. You know what I mean? It's always something that's a very exaggerated version of that. So I do feel like it's moving back to like, oh, no one is wearing any makeup, so like all the naturally stunning girls are just gonna stand out. Whereas like, I guess the Kylie Jenner lip era was about everyone kind of doing the same look and the same makeup.
Yeah.
I mean, also just the dissemination of beauty hacks and advice on YouTube raised a generation of makeup professionals, basically.
Yeah.
You know what kind of makeup I was doing when I was 14? I got my hands on Aqua Blue eyeshadow, and I would just put it all over my lid and think that it did something. You know, meanwhile, my eyebrows were unplucked. There was no mascara going on. It was just, it was horrific. And my sister can do, like, a full face of makeup. She doesn't...
She is beat to the gods, sister.
she does my makeup a lot of the times and does it better than I...
Oh, yeah, I have seen her do your makeup. Yeah. End of podcast.
End of podcast. These are all the thoughts that we have for today. What else has been on my mind?
Beauty standards. Did you see the Billie Eilish, the cover?
Oh, yeah. I have several thoughts about
the Billie Eilish cover. And I'll tell you why. So my problem is not so much with the... The cover is fine. I mean, it's weird, but I get it. Like, wear whatever you want, blah, 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 blah.
We're so toxic. Obviously... We never uplift anyone. It's never like, oh, you know what? I saw something that was wonderful and made me tear up with joy. It's like, my problem.
Of course. Let's talk about the Billie Eilish cover. Obviously means let's criticize it.
You know what? I've been hating this.
No, literally. That is what we do. But my problem with it was not, I mean, the look was whatever. I mean, I personally thought it looked, you know, odd on her or whatever. And a lot of people seem to share that opinion. But at the same time, it's, you know, partly our bias because we're used to her, you know, wearing, you know, a brown paper sack over her at all times. Let's see here. My problem was with her interview, actually. And I actually took the liberty of finding the exact quotes, which irritated me. Blah, 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 blah. So, you know, they're talking about, you know, the classic thing. She's a teenager. She's growing up. You know, she's exploring, you know, whatever. And, like, they ask if she feels the pressure to be a role model or whatever, or if she shouldn't be a role model. And she says, "Don't make me not a role model because you're turned on by me." Kind of presumptuous, don't you think? Like,
excuse me.
Like, it's such a, you know, such a backhanded compliment to yourself.
There's several assumptions at play here. First of all, that it means that she was not sexy when she was wearing baggy clothes. And that's not necessarily true. I always thought that she was very pretty. And again, a woman's, like, level of sexiness should not be defined by, I guess, how little clothing she's wearing or how tight it is.
Yeah, of course.
So her presumption that as soon as she would reveal herself, like, everyone would immediately be turned on. Yeah. This is not how people work. Like, no one is containing themselves.
Exactly,
as to not jump on Billie Eilish.
Yeah. And not because she's not... It is toxic, but it's fine. Not because she's not, like, lovely. You know what I mean? She obviously is, you know?
And actually, there is nothing... And I looked back because a lot of people called her a hypocrite because, obviously, before that, she was wearing baggy clothes.
The next quote I'm going to get to. But go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
Because I actually was unable to find any quotes where she contradicted herself. She basically just said that she was very insecure about her body, and this is how she started wearing baggy clothes. So it wasn't, like, a huge statement against, I'm not going to be controlled by the sexist, misogynistic media industry, you know? So it did feel natural, and I always assumed that at some point she was going to reveal herself, so to speak. And it's natural for an artist to also go through multiple iterations and, like, multiple evolutions of their personality.
Taylor Swift?
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Nicki Minaj. What were you going to say?
So, the next quote is about this. Like, you know, I don't think it's... I agree. I don't think it's hypocritical at all. I mean, she did switch, you know, ways of dressing, but that's, you know, her prerogative. So her next quote is, "Suddenly you're a hypocrite if you want to show your skin, and you're easy, and you're a slut, and you're a whore. If I am, then I'm proud. Let's turn it around and be empowered in that. Showing your body and showing your skin or not should not take any respect away from you." Like, I obviously don't disagree with this, you know, but I feel like, okay, like, every celebrity feels like they're the first person to stumble, you know, upon this particular school of feminist thought. Like, we know, like, we get it. Beyonce did this a lot. Like, we've been having this discourse, you know, for a long, long time while you were in Pampers. Like, don't worry. The message has been hit home. We know, don't you worry. It's not the audacity, but she's like, let's be empowered in this. Oh, you know, good idea. Like, it hadn't occurred. Like, nobody had ever told me that this was empowering before, you know?
Right. Yeah. No, I completely agree. And I also feel like we're sort of a little bit past that stage of feminism.
Yeah.
Maybe this is something, an idea that needs to be reiterated, sorry, every generation.
Well, it certainly has been.
Yeah. So, like, maybe if it's obvious to us, maybe it needs to be stated again. I really don't know.
But it's funny because, like, that is one of the things that I do like about Gen Z is that they don't get swept up in this whole, like, let's make everything empowering. You know what I mean? Right. And so for her to do it, who she's, like, the poster child of Gen Z music, I'm just like, ugh, God. Oh, do you want to talk about toxic positivity?
Oh, my favorite, yes.
Yeah. So the other day, we talked about the concept, I guess, of toxic positivity that our page is about combating, and that we got a lot of DMs asking us to, like, expand on that and what did we mean by that and, you know, so on and so forth.
Yeah. I just think that it's very unhealthy to push on people this responsibility to always see everything in a positive light. And obviously, Boy Rothko and I are here to see everything in a negative light.
What we do is also unhealthy, in fairness, but we have some self-awareness about it.
Yeah, we're just really here to bring everyone down with us.
Let me give you an example of what I mean. The other day, and I think it clears this up pretty well, but the other day I saw this TikTok, which I've told you about, which was like this guy is like looking in the camera and he's telling us stuff and he's like, your body got you through a global pandemic and you have the audacity to be mad at it because it doesn't look a certain way? Like, apologize. Apologize to yourself. Apologize to your body. And it's just like,
oh my God.
First of all, I do take issue with this whole thing of like, we did not all go through this global pandemic, you know, the same way. You know what I mean? Right. If all you did was just like go to your parents' house in Westchester where they have a tennis court, you know, and like maid service every day, like, yes, you lived during a global pandemic.
Not as far as
I'm concerned. You know what I mean? So obviously a lot of us, and I put myself in that category, you know, gained weight or like changed physically in ways that we hadn't before or whatever. There's nothing wrong with feeling unsatisfied over having less control over your like your physique and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, you can't tell, apologize to your body. Like, no the fuck I won't. Like, what the hell?
I also don't think that it's valid to scream at people about feeling bad. You're allowed to feel bad about yourself if you don't feel comfortable.
Yeah, and we were all raised in this system, you know what I mean? Like, of where we were all taught this beauty ideal, whatever, whatever. So, yeah, sorry. I believe it. Unfortunately, I adhere to it now. It's too late for me.
Right.
I want to adhere to it, let me say. I don't know if I...
The annoying thing is that toxic positivity teaches people to embrace things in a hyper-positive way.
Now you have these influencers, their stretch mark is like the size of a fucking fingernail. You know what I mean? And they're like... bearing my body, I've always been insecure, but no longer. And it's literally like you would think that's like the light reflecting off a strand of hair.
Kylie Jenner has this one scar on her leg, which she always makes sure to show off. And I'm like, we're fully aware that this is like your mark that you've not been touched.
It's like retouched. No one thinks that a 2-inch scar on your thigh is unsexy or anything, you know? I think toxic positivity also leaks into this whole attitude of like while dating, like I'm the queen, you know what I mean?
Oh yes.
Toxic
confidence.
Yes, exactly. Like I was at lunch the other day with a friend and a couple of acquaintances. They're talking about things that are like a matter of personal taste in dating, and they're like, yeah, see, yeah, yeah. And they make these comments like, oh yeah, you see, like on the first date, like the conversation should be about me. Like I like to be like the center of attention. Everyone likes to be the center of attention. You know what I mean?
Right.
And you're in any working relationship, like. You will then give him attention too, you know, like he also wants attention. Like you're not like this, you know, the last Pepsi Cola in the desert that like everybody's focusing on you all the time.
Right. It's like this false confidence, whereas the true confidence that comes from within means that you are able to care about other people. You're interested in other people. You're not constantly focused on yourself and you don't constantly need validation from other people. And in general, I feel like there's a lot of this like,
you know, it's like arrogance is thinking you're the best. Confidence is knowing you're just as good as everyone else.
Ooh.
How about that? Let that sink in.
But yeah, I think this faux confidence, this kind of doesn't recognize the fact that before a person knows you very well, you might as well be a queen, right? But before another person knows you very well and is genuinely interested in you, you're just another stranger to them. You know what I mean? It's like walking down the street in New York and people, their faces kind of all blur and become one, you know, one thing, and you're just like that to another person.
Unless you're exceptionally hot, in which case, forget all of this. You are a queen, like, you can treat him however.
We're talking about the majority of us, which is like when you start talking to that person, showing them that you're interested, you know, doing something for them, and then they can recognize that you're a queen. Yeah. Oh, we have both been fascinated with Anya Taylor-Joy.
Oh, God. She is
a goddess.
Gorgeous. Oh,
wow.
My God. You know that's the meme that I'm talking... There's this meme that's been on my Explore feed for, I swear to God, 2 weeks, and it's just, like, her walking up and down, and the comment is, like, the power of this picture or something
that. In New York?
Yes. Oh,
yes.
My God. And that long blonde hair cascading around her shoulders like a waterfall.
I know. A lot of people say that it washes her out, but I think it's a perfect color.
It's
like, the color is so interesting.
It's perfect. Like, it just gives a certain... There's just something so... Not decadent about it. Like,
no, there is.
But that's...
The length of it makes it
decadent.
The color of it makes it unique, I guess.
Yeah.
It's just... Yeah. It's very beautiful.
Yeah.
And the way she carries herself her face is just so unique. It's so beautiful.
Yeah. And you know she's Argentinian as well.
I do know.
Yes.
Although some people in our DMs have accused her of being faux Argentinian.
Yes. I saw that somebody did that. Yeah, somebody in our DMs said that she wasn't a real Latina because she's Argentinian or whatever.
No, because she has Irish parents.
Because she has Irish parents. I mean, she was born in Argentina, right?
Yes.
And I've seen her in interviews. I'm pretty sure Spanish is her first language,
she
speaks it fluently with no accent. So, like,
And she's very proud of being Argentinian.
Yeah, and, like, so I don't understand where the fakery could come from. The only thing is that, like, the Argentinians are known as, like, the white people of Latin America. You know what I mean? It is known. Like, they're the European one. They're the ones with the most European heritage. Like, they're most...
Oh, I didn't
a
know
lot
that.
Of them are, like, ethnically Italian. Or ethnically something like that. But still, it's a lot...
Right.
It's a Southern American, Latin American country. Like, she's obviously, like, yeah. But, yeah.
I'm really happy that Nicki Minaj is back. I have missed
her. Oh,
yeah.
I love her new album. It's so good. What's your favorite so far?
Go Hard, I think.
Okay. Oh, Go Hard is really good, yeah. That one went a little too hard at the time. Because I was, of course, when I saw that her album came out, I started listening to it. I was listening to Taylor Swift. So I was going from, like, you're a wine-stained dress I can't wear. And, like, I was going from that. And then, like, to
did
put on Nicki Minaj's
sense?
Album. Like, yeah, exactly. But I really liked Go Hard, but it was a little too intense at the time for me. But Envy is my favorite right now.
Mm, yeah, that's a really good one.
My favorite line... I'm in a GT, she in a Mitsubishi. Edit this!
I'm pausing this.
Oh my God. My favorite line, I'm in a GT, she in a Mitsubishi. So there. Oh my God. Meanwhile, we walked all over New York this weekend because
just
we could...
to not take a $39.
Yeah, which is another thing that's happening. The Ubers are really expensive lately.
Yeah.
What's going on there? What's the haps?
What's the tea? Well, apparently, there's new regulation in New York, so Uber drivers, they've increased the minimum wage, which is great, and I'll be walking from now.
Oh my God.
It is just very expensive. I'm so sorry. Yesterday, we had to go from the Lower East Side to Tribeca. For $40, and
it's great walking weather, though, I have to say. I love walking. Last night I was wearing loafers, and even then I still walked from Chelsea to the Lower East Side.
It was really nice.
So for the second part of our podcast, I was thinking we can go over the dating stories that you guys submitted.
Yes.
A long, long
this
time ago.
A while ago. We were just reading them over, and you can just tell from the language they're all from kind of like the beginning stages of the pandemic when we were supposed to
January.
Do.
They're from January.
Oh, okay. Okay, okay.
So it's
okay.
Not
so
horrible.
So no, it's not horrible, but we were in the thick of the pandemic.
Yes.
Like, okay. we were quarantining and all that stuff.
Yes. I have to say, I don't think we worded the... request
yeah
quite
something
correctly.
Something went on
something
went wrong, because it actually is our fault, because I did look at the prompt. It is our fault. But we were looking more for like questions, advice, you know, because obviously we're so successful that you'd want advice from us. We were looking for like,
oh. My last name, Getty. Middle name, Kennedy.
Oh my God. But we were, you know, thinking we would be like, oh, he didn't text back after the second date. What does this mean? You know, and we would then
give advice. And we would tell you exactly what it means. It means nothing.
Yeah. What we got were more like, you know, still, well, you go ahead.
What we got were more of a reflections and like little quips about like, oh, you know, dated this guy, then found out that he had another girlfriend.
Which is still, you know, just peachy. You know, okay. It's still really funny.
No, they're great. They're just, there aren't that many questions baked into the story.
But again, it is our fault because we said, like, tell us about your dating lives, you know, and just assume that the question was implied. Yes. But anyways, shall we launch into the meat of it?
Yes, let's do it. I'll read the first one.
You do what you gotta do. No, just kidding. Yes, yeah, that's fine.
Okay, story number one. Got on Hinge for the first time in San Francisco. It's my home and I've been back and bored in quarantine. I've never used Hinge ever, but apparently I'm average in New York, ugly in LA, and at least a 9 in the Bay Area. The dating pool here sucks already, but all the men on Hinge have this insane pressure that if you're already talking to them, then you want to have a serious relationship to get married. So what you have are these desperate but not trying to seem desperate men in their early 30s, trying to vet your level of interest in a relationship without just dating like a normal person and talking about our lives. To top that off, the quarantine has every guy wanting you to go over to cuddle first before ever getting dinner or some kind of food or even a socially distant hike or walk. It just screams sketchy to me. If you don't even know me, how are you going to invite me over without knowing I'm not going to give you COVID? Vice versa, how am I supposed to trust the words of anybody on Hinge if for the first two topics in the conversation you already asked me to meet you in person? I've heard that a female acquaintance, also in San Francisco, went on 20-something dates in 2 weeks. Oh no, poor her. That just doesn't sound safe to me, even if you do get tested, like, every single day. As far as Hinge stats goes, in the first 3 days of downloading the app, I had about 350 to 400 notifications of unread messages and people I haven't liked rejected. I doubt that is something that happens for the male perspective. However, great of an ego boost this was for the first few days. After a while, the app would just give me anxiety. It's like having 400 emails unread in your inbox when you're used to having it notification-free. What if I was missing out on the love of my life? What if there's a billionaire's kid in the entire pile that I just so happened to reject? Kept telling my friends that we need a net worth measurement in Hinge, but they just don't indulge my theory.
Intriguing.
Tell me, what are your thoughts?
My thoughts are, I don't know, tell me your thoughts.
Tell me what you think. Well, first of all, I think it's going on 20 dates. Granted, in quarantine, I was the very careful one. So I would feel very unsafe going on 20 dates. But in general, like in theory, if you have the time to go on 20 dates, I actually think that it's a great experience.
Sounds incredibly draining to me.
It is very draining, like, but like long-term, probably a good thing. I'm not sure. And again, I don't really understand what the writer means by how messed up the dating pool in San Francisco is, because it sounds like there are a lot of men who are interested in dating.
Yeah.
Which is like so unheard of. I know.
I was gonna say that part also stood out to me, you know, because you would say like, I'm also watching Southern Charm on Bravo, a reality TV show. Quarantine has been huge for my reality TV. Like I used to only watch like Kardashian reruns or something like that. Now I'm all about like Real Housewives, Southern Charm, Summer House on Bravo. That show, the billionaire show on Netflix.
Empire Bling.
Bling Empire, yeah. But anyways, so I'm watching the Southern Charm, and it's set in Charleston. Beautiful city, by the way. I want to pack up my whole life and move there. But anyways, back to the meat of it. It's all about how, like, all the men in the city, in the town, have Peter Pan syndrome, and they're 40 years old, and they think they can still just, like, play the field, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Which is a common thing, I feel like, a lot of New York, yeah,
very much.
Yeah,
so.
And I feel like it's honestly like kind of like a male thing, you know what I mean?
I honestly think that if men were given the opportunity,
yeah, that's so true.
Do,
yeah,
but in some societies they just don't have the opportunity.
That's so true. Yeah,
most women have, for instance, like very conservative views on relationships, or the whole society does, or you get married off very young, which is great for.
So yeah, thinking about all these tech bros who are eager to go on a date with you doesn't sound horrible to me per se.
I was going to say the same thing. Yeah,
experienced the horrific dating scene in New York.
I mean, ghosted so many times, call me Casper, you know, like,
it's just, girl, it's the audacity to complain about me.
And then all these men want to, like, date me, like,
I'm sorry, unless they're all, like, hulks down there, yeah. Which I don't even think so, they're probably, like, very, I don't know if tech guys are interesting, per
it's
se,
the, it like, speaks to the whole, like, difference between, like, tech guy and finance guy or whatever, you right. know, yeah.
Anyway, I think that you wrote this message, like, in a fit of desperation because you were, like, stressed out about COVID. I don't think that it's actually a bad thing to go to a city and be a very desirable female yeah. there and for people to want relationships with you.
Yeah, I think you need to have a bit of a, what am I thinking? You know, sometimes you take things for granted a little bit, you know, just like, you know, you'll be fine. You'll
congrats
be fine, sister.
On being hot.
Or like, you know, when, you know, I was unpopular in high school. You know, when your friends who are like cooler than you are saying like, oh God, I'm so busy. Like everybody wants a slice. Like, well, I'm like, okay, sounds terrible. You know, yeah, exactly. Like,
I would like your problems too. Do you want to read that one?
Sure. Okay. All right, here we go. I'm 24 and live in England, the country in a never ending lockdown, which has made dating in the past year pretty hard. I have always said never to dating apps, but lockdown made me do it. I met a guy on Hinge, and by a miracle, we met in person and instantly got on. Great chemistry, which led to great sex. 2 months later, we've seen each other a few more times and still speak most days. However, he has a really annoying habit of making what I call half plans and then never following through. I refuse to always chase up slash ask what's happening, but this involves me either being disappointed or frustrated. We have a great time when we're together, so I can't understand why he doesn't want to follow through when meeting up has been initiated. Also, how do I approach a potential meetup without sounding beggy?
Ooh. Thoughts?
Sometimes. He's not the one for you. And you gotta pack your bags and move on. Just kidding. Yes.
Well, don't come to New York.
No, I will say that's incredibly rude. I hate, not even in dating, you know this, not even in dating or anything, I hate when people make those little half plans. What do you think?
I think that it's very, obviously it's very difficult to judge what the situation is like when the person is only talking from their perspective. So this Russian psychology / relationship blog that I've been obsessed with for the past year.
And I can't speak or read Russian, but when she talks, I'm obsessed with it through her talking about it.
So the psychologist makes a huge deal about people differentiating what are their experiences and what are the common experiences of them and their partner. What do I mean by that? It's very easy to conflate what you're feeling with what you as a couple, the two of you, are feeling. So, for instance, when you write something like, we instantly got on, great chemistry, great sex, you felt great chemistry, you had great sex, maybe he's just great in bed, maybe he's just a super charming person. So I think it's very important to keep these things separate and to not allow yourself to kind of like dig into the head of the other person and assume things. I think it's very important to judge their feelings by the actions. And it seems like from what you're telling, like making half plans kind of sounds like he doesn't want to be rude and say no, but he also doesn't really want to follow through. And I think it's up to you to then be the stronger person and say, the best thing for you to do is to say, hey, I really like you. I don't think I can keep doing this half in, half out thing. It's better if we stop seeing each other. And then the ball is in his court. He can either say, I realized I really like you too. I want to see you. Or he will say, like, I'm sorry, and we'll part ways. But the good thing then is that you behaved correctly. You did not throw some sort of a fit. You did not write a long and very complicated message to a person who doesn't really care. What you did instead was you
showed him your feelings, right? You played your cards. The cards are all out on the table. And then you removed yourself. So it gives him time to think, oh, wow, I really miss her. I really think about her. Also, because all of us as people, I think we tend to make the mistake of thinking that our dating pool is much larger than what it actually is. Meaning, like, sometimes you can think that there are so many people who are interested in you, and it's not really the truth. And sometimes you also just need some time and perspective to realize if you like the person. So by you leaving him this message and then withdrawing, it gives him the opportunity to really rethink. Versus if you're available all the time, then he doesn't really need to take the time to think about
it. Yeah, I agree. I unite with that.
Okay, well, I think that we have to wrap up, actually.
I think so, yeah.
So you're not late for your train. I'm so sad. Oh my god, move here. And we can live in a sexy loft, and you can be painted.
We were in the Lower East Side last night, and it just, like, so every time sexy. I see those sexy-ass exposed bricks, it just makes me want to move into some, like, gigantic artist loft and sit there naked smoking a cigarette while someone paints me. Like a muse kind of vibe.
Okay, well, thank you guys so much for all your support. We're always very, very grateful. And hopefully we'll see you on the episode 3 soon.
Yes, thank you guys so much. And we do plan on doing these more regularly. But yes, thank you. All right, bye.